From high atop Rocky Road, it is Friday, September 7th. I'm Sarah Mead, the general manager at KZMU, sitting in for Molly Marcello with the KZMU News. And I have Rose Egelhoff of the Times Independent here, who is going to run down the most interesting stories of the past week. What do you got, Rose?
So our big story this week is called Getting Off the Hook in Moab. We have a report from our associate editor, Doug McMurdo. So a lot of defendants get off the hook in Moab, it turns out. The dismissal rate, we have a quote from Police Chief Jim Winder saying the dismissal rate in this town is outrageous. Mm. Why is that? I don't know. Is it law enforcement, the courts, prosecutors? I don't know, but from my perspective as an outsider coming here, the dismissals and declinations in Grand County seems out of whack. It seems very odd to me, regardless of whose fault it is, and it could very well be our fault. So there's a lot of reasons that people get off the hook at such a high rate in Moab.
And get off the hook meaning?
Meaning they get charged with a crime and then the charges get dropped. The case that we looked, that we started this whole investigation with was the case of Kevin Ray McAtlin. We had an anonymous caller call in who said that he stabbed someone in Moab before he was arrested for murder. This was a man who was arrested for murder of Elizabeth Carter, 33-year-old, in St. George. He was arrested in Moab on June 16th. Now, it turns out that, according to Police Chief Jim Winder, the caller did not have the correct information, and what happened, actually, was that McAtlin brandished a knife and then attacked someone, but he didn't stab them. The charges did get dropped in his case. It was initially a felony, and then Emory County Attorney Brett Langston, who is also the Grand County Attorney Pro Tem, was called on the case because they decided it was a conflict of interest for County Attorney Andrew Fitzgerald's office, and he decided that based on the facts, they couldn't support felony charges against McAtlin, so the charges were reduced to a misdemeanor, and then they were dismissed in justice court. This is just one example of a case where the charges got dismissed, and there's a lot of potential reasons why Moab has such a high dismissal rate. Mm. One of the possibilities is that, so Winder basically said it's a system issue, it's not any one specific person's fault, but one possibility is that police are arresting people and not writing with sufficient grounds to arrest them, but without sufficient grounds for a case that can be presented and shown that they are guilty without reasonable doubt. There's also another issue in Moab is that a lot of the witnesses are tourists and they're not willing to travel all the way here to testify. So,
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So people witness things and then, so, and for misdemeanors, it's not really worth the county's money to bring someone from another state to testify, to say like, this person committed a small crime.
Wow. I never thought of that, but that's, I can absolutely see how that's possible.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different factors.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of layers going on with people getting quote unquote off the hook here in Moab. Thanks for diving into that. What else do you have here for us?
The USU campus is moving forward. They've decided that the city of Moab needs to fundraise $2 million by June 2019, which is a lot, but it's less than they were previously saying. Before they were saying $5 million, but they decided that asking a small community to raise that much money in 1 year was unreasonable. So they reduced, they were going to build a $10 million building, but they reduced it to a $7 million building. So if Moab is able to fundraise this money, it should break ground. They should break ground by spring of 2020 on this new building. Right now, there's about 100 students each semester at USU Moab, and with the new building, there will be room for 250 to 300 students. So it's kind of like a multi-phase plan. Phase one is it's going to be a regional campus, which means that it's serving, recruiting primarily from Grand County and serving the needs of Grand County. So they just started a nursing program because there was a need for it at the local hospital. They're talking about things that will keep develop the workforce in this community and serve this community. The long-term goal is to make it a destination campus, which means there could be a lot more students here. It would recruit from a really wide geographical area and have all different kinds of majors and courses of study.
So it sounds like the construction the beginning of construction is contingent on the city of Moab raising, mm-hmm. what was it, $2
million? $2 million. So it's the city's responsibility to reach out to possible philanthropists.
Okay.
And try and find somewhere to get this money from.
Very interesting. Okay, well, we'll see what the city can come up with in terms of fundraising for that.
The other thing about this story is there were three city council members present at this meeting. It was a meeting between Liana Etchberger, executive director of USU Moab's Extension, and the city council. Ronnie DeRassery, Mike Duncan, and Kaylin Jones, three county council members, city council members, were present, and they were all supportive of the university. Ronnie DeRassery said that she does have some concerns about USU's Moab's impact on affordable housing. And Mayor Emily Niehaus said that she's very supportive of USU expanding its operation in Moab. She said the council has two jobs. Quote, one is to effectively communicate to the community that we've got $2 million to raise. The second piece is that it is our responsibility as a council to communicate with CITLA about housing.
Mm-hmm. That's been one of the biggest things that I've heard raised from just locals when they talk about the university coming up is, where are they going to live?
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear that they're talking about that in a more official capacity.
Yeah, definitely something that's on the radar.
Thank you. What's the next story you've got?
Our next story is we've got a couple of reports from the veterinary clinics in Moab. Mill Creek Animal Hospital is actually opening a nonprofit in Blanding to serve the community down there. Veterinarian Scott Dolganow and his wife, Patsy Wilmerding, are opening. They opened Mill Creek Animal Hospital to offer care for small animals in Moab, but they're getting a lot of clients driving hours and hours from Blanding, from Monticello.
To come here.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. There's just, they had a vet in Blanding a few years ago, but he passed away and they haven't gotten a new one.
Mm.
And actually, the Moab Veterinary Clinic also offers a mobile clinic already down in Blanding on a weekly basis, but they just, Mill Creek Animal Hospital sees a need for more care down there. So they're going to open Cedar Mesa Animal Hospital in Blanding as an independent veterinary service. So one resident of Blanding, Dan Shores, said he's been driving to Moab for the past decade to receive veterinary care for his five dogs. Last year, they had to drive up once a week for their animals because of a health problem, and it's 77 miles from Blanding to the Mill Creek Animal Hospital. So people are really driving a long way. It's going to be a nonprofit, and they're hoping to serve residents of Southeast Utah and their animals, but also there's the two big reservations down there, the Southern Ute Indian Tribe and the Navajo Nation, obviously. Mm-hmm. There's thousands of stray dogs on the reservation in the Four Corners area, and they're hoping that they'll be able to provide service to those animals in those underserved areas. And the other report that we have regarding from the vets of Moab, there's a particularly nasty strain of canine parvovirus going around. They said that usually 75% of dogs survive parvovirus when they have, if they're being treated in a veterinary clinic. It's a virus that attacks the immune system and fast-growing cells, so dogs get, like, bloody diarrhea and, like, get super dehydrated and their immune systems are compromised, and it can be really lethal. The Moab Vet Clinic suggested that, they said that they had a group of puppies in Blanding who caught the disease, and 7 out of 8 of them died, which is a much higher rate than usual. They just, in their experience, this strain is a lot more lethal. So the reason this came to our attention is because there's been a big outbreak of parvovirus in Carbon County, with a dozen dogs dying in 1 week at the end of August, and more than 35 cases. So basically it's around. Parvovirus is here in Moab. It's thing that's always, it's in the soil. It's in coyotes have it. And dogs need to be vaccinated to make sure they don't get it.
Okay. Oof. Dog owners beware.
Yeah. Watch out. It attacks puppies mostly. But old dogs can get it and any dog really.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hopefully the next story doesn't involve dying puppies.
It doesn't. Not everyone will be cheered by this next story, but I think it's interesting. The state is mandating a change to Grand County's form of government, And last Tuesday, the Grand County Council voted to approve arguments suggesting that everyone vote yes on Proposition 9, which is going to be on the ballot. Proposition 9 is, it asks the question, shall a study committee be appointed to consider and possibly recommend a change in Grand County's form of government? The Grand County Council voted for arguments in favor of voting yes, because that way Grand County residents get a choice in the form of government. If they don't vote yes on this proposition, it automatically becomes a three-person commission. And a little background, HB 224, the bill that is mandating that we change our form of government, was passed by Governor Gary Herbert on March 15th. It offers four options. So we could become a three-person commission, an expanded 5-to-7-member commission, a council with an elected executive with veto power, or a council with an appointed manager who has more authority than our current administrator. If voters do approve this ballot question, a study committee will be formed, and they'll look at what is the best form of government for Grand County to change to.
Do you know what the study, who will be on the study committee?
We know that there was a petition submitted by citizens affiliated with the Republican Party who petitioned to change the form of government right after this law was passed. So they'll have at least one representative on the committee.
Very interesting. Thank you.
Yeah. And just going along with that, we also have the news item that the recall petition against Councilmember Curtis Wells has failed. So they failed to collect enough signatures. It's just an update for anyone who was following that issue.
Okay. When did that get started? It's
been
in the works for a while, right?
Yeah, it was a couple months ago. It was David Lyle, a resident of Moab, filed the petition initially. And he said that he's sorry that it didn't work out, but there just wasn't quite enough signatures. Mm. His reasoning had to do with House Bill 224 and Councilmember Wells' role in crafting that legislation. So Councilmember Wells was involved in crafting this legislation as a member of the Utah Association of Counties, where he was representing Grand County Council. Mm. Some have said that he may have represented himself as a county council member when he wasn't representing the interests of the whole county. Yeah, but the recall petition failed. So, and interestingly, it's not totally clear that it would have been legally allowed if it had enough signatures, just because political recall isn't allowed at the state level. That's one of the things that they're going to force us to change about our form of government. Is that recall can only be made at the state level for high crimes and misdemeanors.
Interesting. Well, thank you for the update on the Curtis Wells case.
Getting back to the natural world, there was a mountain lion sighting in Moab's Portal Vista neighborhood on September 2nd, which caused multiple concerned citizens to notify the city's animal control officers. It happened on the southern edge of Matheson Wetlands Preserve, leading to speculation that there was a breeding population in the Matheson Preserve. Talking to some experts, our writer, Zenaida Sengo, talked with Morgan Jacobson, DWR's conservation outreach manager, and Jacobson said that large predators like cougars are only euthanized in the event that they attack a person, and that relocation of the animal would be the preferred scenario. That will only happen if it shows up repeatedly in an area rather than a small harmless stroll. Jacobson was doubtful that there would be a breeding population of cougars living in the preserves. He said it's been a really well-studied area for some time with a regular influx of visitors, and people would be aware if there was a breeding population of cougars. What he said is that it's likely it's just a young male exploring, and as long as we don't see it again, it should be fine.
Wow. But I was wondering if I could jump in with something, too.
Please.
From the obituaries.
Oh, yeah.
Recently passed on September 1st was a gentleman by the name of Dale Irish. And I bring this up because Dale was a DJ here at KZMU for 5 to 6 years or so, and he recently kind of stepped away from the mic. But I just wanted to bring this up because he's a part of the KZMU family. He passed away on the 1st, and He lived most of his life in California, but spent his remaining years in Moab, living as a self-described hillbilly hippie. And he had a show on Thursdays opposite Lisa Bryant. Pirates and Poets was the name of their shared show. There'll be a service at Moab Cemetery today at noon. And they say that in lieu of flowers, donations can be made to KZMU Community Radio, which we're ever grateful for. So rest in peace, Dale. Well, thank you, Rose, for coming up and sharing this week's headlines from the Times Independent.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, Rose. Get your community-powered journalism at noon, 7, and anytime at kzmu.org.